For a list of the websites discussed in this episode of T-Drive, as well as the show notes, please visit www.freelabs.com/wholesomevalue for C-Drive's homepage.
Welcome to the fourth episode of C-Drive. I'm Joel.
And I'm Will.
C-Drive is a news and tech website where we take websites that we see throughout the week and we put them up and write stories about them, and then we talk about them here.
And the coolest thing is that more or less we've done it completely for free.
For the past 4 weeks.
Yep.
We apologize. For the past week, we haven't had this updated. But we're planning on...
It's because we're lazy, actually.
We were never
planning on doing it. We don't care. We're just lazy.
We're planning on, though, working on it more.
Yeah,
just getting everything up and working. We are planning on doing an extra one this week. And then from now on, it's going to be Monday, the website's going to be updated. Tuesday, we're recording. And Wednesday, you guys will have the podcast.
Yeah, hopefully. That's roughly right around there. Sometimes it'll be earlier, but it definitely will not be later. And as Joel said, we will try to be having one out later this week, probably Friday. Because we're actually trying to get some sample stuff for when we actually got invited to do a workshop at Bloomsburg University this Saturday. Which is a very interesting, very cool opportunity that was granted to us, and we're very excited for that. A little workshop on how to make a podcast.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And with that, we're also, one of our friends, Cody, he is getting a microphone, and we're going to be doing another website along with this one called Powered On, or
at least
something along that line.
Yeah, tentatively called Powered On. And it's going to be centered around video games. News.
Okay.
All right. Our first story is World Domination, Google Style. And everybody who is at least remotely a dork or a geek or a nerd or whatever generic term you like to use has at least played Risk once and knows the exhilaration of defeating your friend and proving that you're the smarter and more war-savvy among them by totally dominating.
And you're also, if you're a geek, you know what Google Maps is. You can combine the two together.
So together, we have an amazing hybrid, although it's sort of in the works almost. Like, they'll probably get it a little more updated because kind of rough around the edges, but an interesting hybrid of Risk and Google Maps. So it's high-resolution images using Risk, so it's very fun. It's very good.
It is funny. Have you played it? I didn't.
I
thought it was cool.
I played it for like 5 or 6 minutes, and I'm like, wait, I have to do other things. I can't be spending my time doing this. But it is. It looks like it's pretty good. It felt like it wasn't quite fine tuned. I wasn't exactly understanding how everything was working. But just the fact that somebody took the time and they're like, okay, Google Maps and Risk. Let's just see how this works together. Someone took time to do that.
People are doing everything with Google Maps, though, now. Like, we were on Dig, and they had that add your location, so you could look through Google Maps, and they have wallpapers now. It's just really... a lot of stuff going on with that.
Yeah, they have, like, a whole string of different websites that plot their users on the map, so you can actually go to this website, and we can put it up later, and... Maybe, you know what I was thinking? Maybe we should start doing show notes. Like...
Show notes?
Like, what we do is, like, well, the stuff that we talk about, and we, like, have little extra links that we're talking about, we just, like, plug it right in there. We just have a little thing at the bottom that says, these are the links we talked about. These are some of the little extra links we talked about today, and put it at the bottom.
Oh, that's smart.
Yeah,
and then
we
could have... Or we can actually have a whole section now with show notes.
Yeah,
episodes 1, 2, and then you have a... You sure we can't set up a direct feed from our site to...
For what?
For our podcast.
Oh, dude, that would take up so much bandwidth. We'd probably shut our site down after a while. Because it would just exceed our bandwidth. But, so anyway, back to whatever this website is. You go to this Dig thing, you put your name in, your Dig user, and then there's a whole entire map of Dig users in your community, and in the whole entire United States, in the world, even. So it's kind of interesting, it's kind of fun. They've all sprouted from Google Maps, so.
Yeah. Once again, another thing from Google that is amazing, but someday will be used to rule the world. Okay, Star Wars all at once. This is the epitome of fanboy, I must say. This guy has been watched all the Star Wars movies at once. And it went, did he have, like, 6 TVs?
Yeah,
with all of them playing?
I think he actually just took them and used some programming, I'm not quite sure what he used, but he put them all together on, because at first, like, if you actually look at the website, at first they have all of them superimposed on one picture, and he's like, oh wait, this looks like crap, it's a waste of time. But then he decided to take them and put them into 6 different cells and see what happened.
Can you download it?
He has little clips that you can download if you go straight to his website. He has little clips that you can download. Oh, he's updated it. Alright, he's updated it a little bit. He's got page 2 now. Yeah, so, you can download little clips of stuff. That's pretty much it.
That's cool.
If you look at it, some of the things they have is, the one that I thought was interesting, he says, he goes 4 minutes into it, he finds that the first appearance of Palpatine in The Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones are on the same exact frame. And at the same that's cool in its own merits, but then at the same time, in Return of the Jedi, Vader is telling Moff, I'm gonna totally butcher this name because I've not heard it before, Jar Jarad? I've only heard of Moff Tarkin. What? Alright, well, that the Emperor is coming. Oh, it's that dude. Okay, I know who it is. So anyway, like, he's got Wookiee hugs that are happening at the same time. He's got, like, a bunch of things. Pages. He's got page... I don't know how many pages he's got. So, yeah. Oh, 3? He's got a bunch of stuff up there, so it should actually be cool.
I haven't looked at the site, and now I'm just looking at it. It's really cool.
Yeah, they got, like... I'm counting... Let's see. 4 pages.
Wow. Guy had a lot of time on his hands.
Heck yes. That's a...
It's a fanboy for you.
Yeah, dude. I have to say, that's extreme dedication. And,
extreme. He's one of those people who probably cried when he saw the end of the 3rd movie. This was the end of the trilogy.
I have to say.
Second trilogy.
My emotions were at least remotely touched when it's like, you were the chosen one! I mean, that was awesome! It's like the end of Star Wars. And I mean, there's just so much with it, but...
Yeah.
Even if it was slightly, regrettable that he took the path that he did, but that's for another day. Next story.
It's yours.
It is.
Yeah.
Oops. Okay. The Nintendo Wi-Fi site. Basically, the Nintendo Wi-Fi site launched this week. It actually launched last week, and this was a story that we're supposed to be doing, the one that we ended up not getting last week. But anyway. Nintendo has officially launched their global Wi-Fi connection, which means a lot of fun for people that have DSs, and I think Joel can sort of take it from here because I don't have a DS.
Woohoo! I'm getting my first game tomorrow that's going to have Wi-Fi. The site, I must say, is very well laid out. I mean, first they ask you for your region. You go to the site... If you have a login name, you can create a login name, or you can have your login name, and you can manage all of your games that you played, your scores on the games, how many times you played, the amount of hours you played, the people you played against, and it manages everything on the site. So you're at your friend's house, you want to see if your friend's on, or another friend's on, you can check there, or... If you've played against a person before and you want to play them again, but you don't know their code. And it shows you everything on the site on how to set everything up. It's just amazing the way everything works. They spent a lot of time on this. You could definitely tell they spent a lot of time and effort for these games that are being released. And I'm psyched. I'm waiting tomorrow. I'm going to get my first Wi-Fi game, get everything set up.
Yeah, wasn't it? Didn't you say it was not there? They didn't have it stocked yet at GameStop?
It was Walmart and GameStop. They didn't have it in, which was kind of bugged me. But I can wait an extra day, you know. I'm excited. I mean, like, on the site, they have a gaming area, and you can click on, like, the Mario Kart section, and it tells you the top cities where it's played.
Oh, really?
Who's playing it. Like, right now, Maple Valley, Washington, which they've had it for the past week, because it's where Nintendo is stationed out of, so they've had more people playing it there. They have 175.
Is that the gaming the gaming hub? Is that
yeah.
Where you're at? Oh, okay.
Tacoma, Washington, that's where my cousin lives. They have 174.
Oh, wow.
Then you have Mexico, more Washington.
They've got apparently Mario Star has 175 points. He's the top Mario Kart DS player. He's the top. He's it.
Telling you, dude. It's the way to go.
Dude, what's this? If you look, okay, go if you go to the website and you look at the top 5 MKDS players, Dark Kane MX TM trademark is number 2, and Sizzle with the little restricted R, you know, with the circle around it, is number 5. Well, I know that if you put, like, in a word processor, you put parenthesis R parenthesis, then it'll make that. Or if you do that into Trillium, which I found out later, it actually makes a rainbow. which is funny because AIM, IMs need to remind me that I have two people on at the same time because I was using Amiibo. And so I was going on, and they send me this, and I'm like, wait, AIM rainbow. And I'm like, oh, they must have the thing, that's how the R looks like. So, yeah, but anyway, was that like a product plug or what? What's Sizzle?
Well, what you can do, I think, is when you get your game, right, you go through your login, and once you have your Wi-Fi set up, everything set up, you'll be able to put in your actual code name and your link name or whatever, and then you'll be able to have everything set right there. And, That's all part of your nickname with the DS thing. So I think you can actually put, like, you have a mad face and stuff you can put on next to it.
Oh, okay, I see. All right.
Okay. One sec, I have to get back to the site. Okay. Sony at it again. They're not sharing. It's like a little kid where you have to tell them to not be like... So he shares toys with other people.
Yeah, that'd be a little jerk, man. Sony's being a jerk. That's pretty much it.
Yeah. Sony announced... Well, speculation with Sony is that they are going to not make their PS3 games. Like, once you buy a PS3, you have the PS3 game, you load it in your system, it does something that it won't let you play that game on other people's systems.
Yeah.
Which totally blows the rent a game and... by used games, and that's really going to hurt them on the console market.
Seriously, they've got, what does is they have, like, these special codes that basically, the registration codes are on the CD, and once you pop it into your PlayStation, the PlayStation deletes those codes and then puts on its own code, basically registering it to that system and only that system. Now, this is just a rumor, and as it said in the website that we actually have a link to, that more than likely they won't actually do this because of the harsh repercussions of not having pre-owned games and being totally restricted from rentals. But the this is showing that, like, there's going to be a shift in the coming years, even more so of a shift, towards anti-consumer convenience... through anti-piracy legislation and actions by companies and such like this, and it's just gonna be, like, I think it's gonna be uphill battle rather.
Well, $5 says that if they do that, since they're gonna be online, there's gonna be a mod within a week or two because people are just gonna get sick and tired of it.
Right.
Once again, you're not going to be able to rent or buy used games, but you'll be able to borrow your friends' games and then burn those and do whatever with them.
It's just, I don't know what's going on.
Sony is waging war against the geeks in the world, and it's going to be a hard battle.
Because geeks
there's
are
more
very...
of them, and there are more geeks than there are of them.
they can find their ways around. You think that they're not going to make a mod chip? You're crazy. That's why I don't think that Sony's gonna go ahead with this thing fully, but there's something's gonna come up, something's gonna be in the works. This isn't gonna just end here. moving from a company that we're not very pleased with, Sony, to a company that's actually really interesting, very geek-friendly, Skype, is now going to be available, instead of on a computer, you're going to be able to run it from a cell phone, which means very, very cheap in phone calls with just puts them down for money on the phone. Do you know if they're going to charge to call with it?
They probably will, like they do. Well, I think what it'll be is like the way Skype is run now, with if I call from my Skype phone to your Skype phone, it's going to be free. But if I call from my Skype phone to your home phone, it's going to be like the 0.001 cents that they charge.
Right.
A minute.
Alright, so it's going to be
and
like...
And global calling would be fine too.
So it's going to be like really, really interesting. But the other thing that I was looking at it and I was thinking, what exactly is the reception going to be like? Are you going to be able to get reception a lot of places? Do you know how it's going to work?
I don't know. I didn't hear about that. It might be that what they might actually do, since all these places are having like the Wi-Fi internet, they might actually make the phone connect to the internet.
I see.
Which would be smart, because they have like places like San Francisco, Philadelphia, have all Wi-Fi.
And apparently my backyard has Wi-Fi because of my neighbors. So, which I did, if you're listening, neighbors, try to hack into your Wi-Fi once. And I succeeded, but then I decided to go and buy my own DSL connection. And we're there. But, we love you, neighbors. And now we have our own that you can have for your free disposal. Just come over and ask for a password. Everything would be cool. But, so this is really cool. Company called Acton Technology. It's going to be available in the first quarter of 2006, the first month of 2006. And at first, it's going to be at $150, but then as the company sort of evolves and production processes get a little easier, it'll go down to $100. And that's an investment to which I might put some money if it turns out to be a good reception, if it turns out I can get it a lot of places, and if it turns out they're not going
to... cell phone.
Yeah, and it has to... They're not... Unless they, like, they... I hope they're not going to do something with the Skype and make, like, a surplus charge or something, like, weird. So just no hidden charges. It'll be really cool. We'll just see what happens.
Okay. Microsoft and Apple are, like, the two completely separate companies when it comes to the computer world. Now, why Microsoft would want to try to involve something with Apple onto their system, I don't know. But right now, it's showing that Apple doesn't want to work with Microsoft, which is smart, because Microsoft steals stuff from them. They announced when they announced the Xbox 360 that they would be able to hook up their MP3 players and play music off of them like they do with the Xbox now, when you can rip your CDs to them really slowly.
Mm-hmm.
But what Apple is doing is they're putting their feet in the, like, digging their feet into the ground, saying, well, you're not going to be able to use our iPod Music Store or anything that you bought from our site on your system.
Unless Microsoft were to pay the 10%, there's a 10% of their entire profits that Microsoft would have to give to Apple in order for that functionality to actually for Apple to be able to allow that functionality. So that's why Microsoft's not doing this, and that proves that they really don't care about the consumers, because if they're trying to market a media machine, how can you have a media machine without, like, the keystone to sound to sound media at this point, which is Apple and their iPod?
Yeah, I mean, and I bet you $5 Sony's not going to let theirs, because it'll be spreading music in a way that's not legal, and but then Creative will just be like, hey, it's another place we can put ours on.
Yeah, so it's... the Xbox, it just shows that, like, what's the Xbox 360 really have going for it at this point?
I don't know, dude. I saw gameplay this weekend, and it seems really, I mean, the graphics are beautiful. Gameplay is crisp, it's not boggy at all, like, there's barely any load times. The only thing that I think that a lot of people are going to see is that the graphics are good, they're pretty, it's well-supported, especially they're online, and it's going to be the first console out, so people will automatically turn in their systems and buy the new one. And I'm sure that the same thing will go with GameCube Revolution. But I think by the time Sony relaunches their system in Christmas 2006, which is March, they're launching in Japan in March. U.S. in Christmas 2006 might be too late, you know? It's a little late to be on the market, and especially when you have like a $600 price tag on it.
$600?
They're saying, they're guessing that's going to be almost as twice as much as the basic Xbox system.
Oh my god.
Xbox 360 system.
So it's, like, and there's certain things. I know that eventually I'm going to buy a PlayStation 3. Eventually. First, I'm going to buy a Revolution because, frankly, the price point, not to mention the fact that the controller, the innovation. So I'm interested in the Revolution. A lot of other Nintendo fans, like Joel and a bunch of other people, are really interested in it. The Xbox has the fact that some people don't like to wait for things, and they like, you know, instant gratification, so they go out and they buy the Xbox 360. Plus, Xbox 360 has the Halo fans. So PlayStation 3, basically, they have some sort of continuation or spin-off of the Ratchet & Clank and Jack and Daxter series, a spin-off, obviously not the continuation of the same series. And that's what they have going for them. And obviously, like, amazing, mind-blowing hardware, but how many consumers are going to dish out the funds that you need? That's a really
good
question.
Honestly, if I were to buy a second console after my Revolution, I would get an Xbox 360.
Really?
I'm just saying because Sony makes it sound like it's going to be so expensive, and it's going to be so restricting, and it's going to be so much stuff that it's not going to let you do it. Programmers are saying how hard it is programming them right now, and that there's not going to be a lot of games for them. The games are going to be like $60, $60, $65. And frankly, I don't want to have to deal with it. So I'd probably shoot for a 360 if I were to get another system besides the Revolution, which I'm not going to do. If anything, I'd get two Revolutions, one for one room in the house, one for another, just because of it being cheaper.
Not to mention the fact, wireless linkage, man.
Yeah.
Playing, that'd be great. Great, great, great. So Sony, at this point, seems to be at the down, but you never know what's going to happen. 2006, you never know.
Yeah.
Alright. Is the next one mine?
Yep.
All right. Interesting. Joel was talking about Mario Kart DS. He went to the mall. It was out of stock because was it that they didn't order? Or was it out of stock? They just hadn't ordered it yet.
They didn't get it in yet.
They didn't get it in. Okay.
But they have, dude. This is the fabulous thing about this is they have a waiting list of people who like GameStop. You can call in and reserve a game. Their reserved games are so high right now. But since my mom went in the store for me, put $5 down on the game, I'm automatically one of the first people. I have a guaranteed copy.
Oh, really?
No one can take that away from me.
That's crazy.
So that is, like, that means I will definitely get it either tomorrow or Wednesday.
Do you know what else is true? That the DS Wi-Fi is going to be very popular. If it's gotten to the point where you have to worry about whether you're not going to get a copy of a game or not, it shows that the game's going to be really popular, and it's going to show that the Nintendo DS, despite what some people think, I think actually is going to well on its way to totally overtaking the PSP because the PSP is so expensive, and now the DS is going to have really great wireless and online play, so I don't know.
Dude, I'm telling you what, I'm putting money down on Animal Crossing when it comes close to that time, because I'm excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely Mario Kart DS. I've been reading articles about it, and I'm just so pumped about it. It's going to have... The online is not as much as the actual gameplay. Gameplay got 9.5 overall. Online, they said, was seemed a little rushed, but that's just like any other online game. And it doesn't have the whole everything in it. But I was reading, like, the multiplayer, they say, is the best. Like, the battle they've improved. What they do in the battle now is you start out with one balloon, but you have four all together. I'm sorry, five all together. And what you do is when you stop, you can fill up your balloons when you're sitting there. And then you can go. You can't do both. You can't pump up your balloons and drive at the same time.
So you're susceptible for attack, obviously, when you're pumping up the balloons, though?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you get hit, like, when you're pumping up a balloon and you have, like, no balloons left, you just lose at that point? I see. That's really interesting. Yeah, the IGN article that gave it a 9.5, cited the fact that the battle, like, he said, this reviewer has never actually played the battle, never found it really interesting, the battle mode, but now in this mode, the battle mode is amazing. So I really think that it should, everything seems, and they have so many different modes of gameplay, apparently, and it just seems like it's going to be.
They have a mission mode now, dude. A mission mode.
Which is crazy, man. It's crazy.
What I find amazing is, too, they have tracks from Double Dash on the from the GameCube.
Yeah, I heard about it. I was reading this as a thing, so definitely.
Right here, now, are you going to buy a DS? Or are you going to ask for one for Christmas or your birthday?
Right here, right now? See, I would totally do it. I'm telling you, I would totally ask for it right now for Christmas. If it wasn't for the fact that you told me that they're coming out with this new one.
Dude, by the time Nintendo gets that, it'll probably be either next Christmas or summer 2007. And you can just turn your DS then, get a new one. I mean, you trade in, get half the price off, and then, because by that time, your touchscreen will probably be worn down enough that you won't be able to see out of it.
I see.
And it'll be you, me, Joe, and Cody. 4-player, driving.
It's something that I'm willing to look into. I can't really give it definite now, even though I am sort of on the podcast. And it would be cool if I could just be like, dude, I'm totally getting it, you should too. But I'm not. And I might. But I do know that this is definitely something that's not deterring me at all. It's definitely pushing me towards it because it's really, really, looks like an amazing game. It's going to be, with, as you said, Animal Crossing, which is something that, despite the fact that some people might think it's kind of geeky, looks pretty good, as well as Metroid Prime Hunters, which is supposed to come out 2006, right?
March.
March 2006, so.
Mm-hmm.
So it's all good.
Okay, we've been going on Nintendo, Microsoft, and PlayStation 3, and we've been chewing up the PlayStation 3 and spitting it out. But Sony, we have to give them credit; they have been catching on. They are saying that their new system, the PlayStation 3, will be region free, meaning I can buy a game from Japan just in case if I know Japanese and play it on my console system. And without having it, like, sometimes, like, if I would buy a game from England, the region coding won't let me play it on my system. Now, the DS has had this before. I could buy a DS from Japan. Like, they had the pink ones, the red ones, the blue ones, and the black ones before the United States even got them. And I could buy it there, set my language settings, and play the games in English without any problems. Which is smart, you know?
It's definitely. And it's largely the result of the globalization of the high-definition television format. And that's what the article is trying to say, that basically things are going to a global level at this point. And so we're pushing into just, we're getting rid of international boundaries all around the tables in various respects as technology progresses, obviously. And this is just a way the video game industry is sort of conforming to that. So, it's really cool. It's obviously going to be easier. You don't have to deal with illegal mod chips and whatnot for worrying about whether or not this is illegal or legal to do. Unless, of course, you want to do really fun things like mod the Xbox to play emulators or to turn into a Linux system or whatnot.
Dude, I'll tell you what, who was it? It was David Huss. He modded Halo 1 to make it so it's a Sonic theme. Like,
really?
They had the rings and stuff all throughout the map.
How did you do
and
that?
And they had the little... Huh?
How did you do that?
He downloaded it.
Okay. So, well,
it was really, I didn't get to see it, but he was describing it to me, so it was really cool. Like, they have, like, the little, like, flipper things... And the it looks like a pinball. You know how they have the pinball machine pieces in, Sonic?
Casino Land or whatever it is.
Yeah, stuff like that.
That's awesome, dude. It kicks butt, man.
That's what I'm waiting to see. Since like, Revolution and stuff is gonna be online. They're gonna have all these different mods, and I want to see like, Super Smash Brothers, with flying cars through or something weird like that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're really cool mods. That's what's really great about the progress of technology. Not to mention the fact that, like, whatever is for the revolution is going to be really, really awesome, man. Crazy. Imagine Mario Kart for the Revolution. Just imagine it for a second.
Yeah. Here we are going talking about Sony. We go back to the. We go back to Nintendo. It always happens.
Oh, definitely. Here we have, and that sort of transitioned to our good next story pretty well. For those of you who are upset about the delay of the Zelda game, the Twilight Princess, you hear all this stuff at E3 about it, all the monkey levels of the monkeys. It's all really exciting. You're like, oh my god, November 11th, blah blah blah. Obviously, November 11th has passed, and it is not in gamers' respective hands. That is because they delayed it till March, but that's not the story. The story is that to tide us all over until that point, Ocarina of Time has been allotted. If you have a ROM, and if you have a compatible emulator, you can actually get a high-resolution version of Ocarina of Time with high-resolution textures, and that includes... also, a little thing that I was looking at, if you go to the forums, it shows a little thing you can tweak and make it cel-shaded, which actually looks kind of, it looks kind of cool. Yeah, so.
I've been trying, I tried and tried and tried to get this to work before the podcast, and I don't know how to. The site where that the people made it is in French, and it's Macromedia, like, it's in Flash, I mean, so I can't use Google Translator at all. And I don't know how to set it up. So if you know how to, email us at wholesomefailure@gmail.com. WholesomeFailure@gmail.com.
And email us there if you can tell us a little bit about the high-resolution thing, if you can figure it out yourself. Or if you have some feedback, because we've gotten a lot of viewers. Not for the third episode, it wasn't quite as many as the second one. But still, we've gotten a lot of viewers, but no feedback to our actual website. So we only got one feedback originally. So we'd like some feedback so we can just make this website a little more interesting, change some things, tweak some things. Right in the middle of the podcast, we decided that we're gonna put a little extra page on there about show notes. So basically, just definitely check out send us emails, really.
And how about this? The people who email us, we'll read them on the podcast.
Yeah, dude.
As long as they're appropriate.
And you'll be enshrined forever in greatness because C-Drive is great.
On 200 people's MP3 players.
200, man. 200 subscribers. Being that we only have 4 episodes... that's not bad. That's not bad at all.
Dude, I just looked it up. Twilight Princess, April 2006.
April 2006, folks. So, very good. So, I wonder if they're gonna... Because I had heard, like, a little bit of rumor that they were gonna do weird things with it for the Revolution, but I think that was just because people were, like, getting confused about them, delaying it, but, like, I don't know. I don't know what's gonna happen, but I do know that eventually I'll get my hands on it, and when I do, I won't be letting go of the controller for some time to come.
And I'll be getting it when I get my Revolution.
Because it's fully backwards compatible, which is a cool thing that some companies have decided to exclude or to make slightly dysfunctional. So,
dude, Nintendo should seriously send us some money or something, because we're like...
Well, we are crazy fans, man. It's crazy.
Last story, BioWare and Pandemic join. Now, people are out there thinking, who are BioWare and Pandemic? Pandemic was the company that created a lot of Star Wars games like Battlefront, Battlefront 2, Clone Wars, which was kind of, it was okay, I had fun with it. And Full Spectrum Warrior, there's a couple other. And BioWare created Knights of the Old Republic and Knights of the Old Republic 2, which were two very good sellers. So, we can expect awesome Star Wars games.
Awesome, awesome Star Wars games. Basically, what they're calling it is, I guess, sort of like an intellectual property merge, almost. Like, they're going to be sharing some of their, profits. So, they're going to be sharing some of their, monetary money. I guess I can put it that way. They're going to be sharing the money as well as creative ideas. So it's gonna be an interesting thing, and I think it will yield some really cool Star Wars themed games. Maybe even launch Star Wars Battlefront 3 into what will become something more than just remote critical success, because people haven't been saying that Battlefront 2 is that great, saying Battlefront isn't that great. Personally, I didn't think Battlefront was the greatest game, but Battlefront 2, I think, is amazing, deserves at least a 9, man. People giving it, like, 7 and stuff. Truly, I think it's great, and maybe with this merge, there'll be even greater games, because Pandemic really is a company that makes some good games, some bad games, but definitely some good ones, too.
I want to see a Star Wars game for the Revolution, like a remake of Jedi Academy, where you get to actually be, it's like a first-person Jedi game, where, like, the controller is a lightsaber.
That would be amazing.
And then you move with the other controller.
That would be very good. That would be crazy, man.
Yeah, that would be, because you have those two buttons, the Suzy buttons, where you can have the Force powers.
Wow. That would be more than a Star Wars fan could ask for.
I would buy it. I would definitely buy it. No thoughts about that.
Even if it got, like, a 5, just the fact that you could wield lightsaber, man, I don't care.
Dude, it wouldn't get a 5.
Yeah, because...
That's the whole point.
There'd be the geeks, and they'd be... Yeah, dude, no, it would be great. It would be amazing.
Dude, even better. Like, Rogue Squadron, where you get to use the, controller as, like, the, joystick thing, where you get to actually fly. And then you have, like, the two buttons where you can actually, like, launch the proton torpedoes.
Yeah, dude, the applications are endless, and really, like, for all platforms, the Mario 128 is going to be great, whatever it is that they come out with the Revolution Mario game, across all platforms. It's going to be really, a really great, like, they have this one thing they're telling us about, that I read about, was they made, like, this little prototype game, where you actually, like, you cook things. You use it to, like, be like, you just use it for various cooking tasks. Which is kind of interesting. Like, the applications are really endless. And so it's kind of exciting just to see what's going to be coming up for the Revolution. And that's why I'm definitely, definitely getting one. It's very exciting.
Yeah. Well, I just hope they don't overlook it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure we'll get at least one. At least.
Well, I guess that was successful. This is C-Drive. I'm Joel.
And I'm Will. We'll see you next week.